Welcome back. Time to the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, talking about cultural Marxism, reading from William S. Lynn's piece, Who Stole Our Culture? It's a good question. It's not rhetorical. It was hijacked, and what would the operative term be? Something like I would say obviated away is sort of the it wasn't so much stolen as it was sort of obviated away, you know, considered outmoded and those kinds of things. This radical cultural nihilism is much cooler, and you see it everywhere. I mean, it's I would say PBS is kind of a Republican conservative version of it. Not really. I mean, hopefully that makes sense in context. And NPR is the hardcore Nazi patriot radio brand of it, with the radical cultural influence. Think globally, act locally. I mean, it's just, ugh. All right, so early Marxist theory, again, from William S. Lynn's Cultural Marxism, Who Stole Our Culture? Number one was exploit the working classes. And that, you know, calls to mind the traditional brand of Marxist economic conflict, you know, oppressor-oppressed paradigm. Again, bourgeoisie, proletariat collided, irreconcilable. Workers of the world, unite! And so, you know, in this case, it's culturally oppressed of the world, unite! In the case of cultural Marxism. Okay, so continuing. Number two, destroy Christianity and culture. After World War I ended in 1918, Marxist theorists had to ask themselves the question, what went wrong? As good Marxists, they could not admit Marxist theory had been incorrect. But see, there's more to the story. This is just a weapon. And again, I think John Spivak put it very well. It would be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind, including racial and religious ones. And you have these groups that are cooperating. And, you know, we've heard the other sound bites throughout history. Sure, we employ these people. And, you know, again, Spivak even wrote about that. These groups that, why? Because out of the conflict comes the power. You know, we've talked about that. I've mentioned that recently. You know, through this strife and conflict emerges more power and control. Simply goes back to Benjamin Franklin's words, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become more corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. So, I mean, if you want to be the master, it only makes sense if Benjamin Franklin et al. Was correct in those sentiments that you would want to engineer irreconcilable and perpetual conflict. And when you look at it in those terms, then you actually get a better view of who the real oppressor is. All right, so continuing. As good Marxists, they could not admit Marxist theory had been incorrect. Instead, two leading Marxist intellectuals, Antonio Gramsci in Italy and Georg Lukács in Hungary, and whenever I think of Hungary, I think of guys like Soros and what has happened, you know, the kind of cultural Marxist influence of him and what his native Hungary thinks of him. Anyway, Lukács was considered the most brilliant Marxist thinker since Marx himself. Independently, these guys came up with the answer. They said that the Western culture and Christian religion had so blinded the working class to its true Marxist class interests that a communist revolution was impossible in the West until both could be destroyed. That objective And again, doesn't that tie right back to Pike's letter to Mazzini? That objective, established as cultural Marxism's goal right at the beginning, has never changed. A new strategy, number three, infiltrate cultural influencers. Gramsci famously laid out a strategy for destroying Christianity and Western culture, one that has proven all too successful. Instead of calling for a communist revolution up front, as in Russia, he said Marxists in the West should take political power last after a long march through the institutions, quote unquote. And again, this pervasive influence comes from a variety of quarters. And I've mentioned Richard N. Gardner's Hard Road to World Order, where he expressed similar sentiments. You know, the old-fashioned frontal assault not working. You know, the way to do it is an end run. What he said was, it'll look like a great booming, buzzing confusion, to use William James' famous description of reality, but an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. Can you believe this? We have people in our midst, and you know, again, 100 years ago, there were people paying close attention, and this is something that, you know, I've mentioned Gary Kaw's book recently when I was reading excerpts from that. Bad guys know. You know, this is something that the esoteric occult community knows. You know, at first the influence is radical and it's well noticed, but then over time it's sort of absorbed and it's not as noticeable. And these guys know that too. It's the long, you know, again, as Gramsci put it, the long march through the institutions, the schools, the media, even the churches, every institution that could influence the culture. That long march through the institutions is what America has experienced, especially since the 1960s. Fortunately, Mussolini recognized the danger Gramsci posed and jailed him. His influence remained small until the 1960s, when his works, especially the prison notebooks, were rediscovered. Number four, sex education. Georg Lukacs proved more influential. In 1918, he became deputy commissar for culture in the short-lived Belakun Bolshevik regime in Hungary. They're asking, who will save us from Western civilization, quote-unquote? And again, this is, you know, something you see spread around the world. You know, speaking of the protests in Iran, if there's anything legitimate to that, it's this kind of influence, but it's the very, again, it's the oppressor himself who is spreading the message of ostensible liberation. They're asking, who will save us from Western civilization? He instituted what he called cultural terrorism, quote unquote. One of its main components was introducing sex education into Hungarian schools. Cultural terrorism. Lukacs realized that if he could destroy the country's traditional sexual morals, he would have taken a giant step toward destroying its traditional culture and Christian faith. Far from rallying to Lukacs' cultural terrorism, quote unquote, the Hungarian working class was so outraged by it that when Romania invaded Hungary, the workers would not fight for the Belakun government, and it fell. Lukacs disappeared, but not for long. In 1923, he turned up at a Marxist study week in Germany, a program sponsored by a young Marxist named Felix Weil, who had inherited millions. Weil and the others who attended the that study week were fascinated by Lukács' cultural perspective on Marxism. The Frankfurt School, number 5, use stealth, and there's always stealth involved, which again calls to mind Nesta Webster's words. Weil responded by using some of his money to set up a new think tank at Frankfurt University in Frankfurt, Germany. Originally, it was to be called the Institute for Marxism. And, you know, speaking of Frankfurt, I wonder if this is too far. I don't think so. Speaking of, I mentioned David Livingstone's stuff yesterday, and as, you know, further research, maybe. You go over to ordoabko.ca, volume 2, part 11, is titled Redemption Through Sin, and talks about the Judengasse. The Judengasse, the Jewish ghetto of Frankfurt, was one of the earliest ghettos in Germany. It existed from 1462 until 1811. It was home to Germany's largest Jewish community in early modern times, initially some families. And don't get the wrong impression. Again, I already spoke to target fixation, so I'm not going to do that again. Initially, some 15 families with about 110 members lived in Frankfurt's Judengasse. When they were forcibly removed from the city and relocated to the ghetto by decree of Frederick III in 1462. Frederick III, Holy Roman Emperor, a member of the Ordo, the Order of the Dragon, also a member of the Order of the Garter, married Eleanor Diabas, Princess of Portugal, the daughter of Eleanor Aragon, whose brother Alfonso the fifth king of Aragon and Naples was also a member of the Order of the Dragon. The central role of Frankfurt's Jews in Jewish spiritual life is best illustrated in the rabbinical conference held in Frankfurt in 1603. Many of the most important Jewish communities in Germany, including Mainz, Fulda, Cologne, Koblenz, sent representatives to Frankfurt for this conference. The most famous resident, this is where I'm going, of the Judengasse was Amschel Mayer Bauer, who took on the name Rothschild, who found the famous banking dynasty. The Rothschilds have been referred to as a founding father of international finance, quote unquote, ranked 7th on the Forbes magazine list of the 20 most influential businessmen of all time in 2005. Anyway. The dynasty was founded by Amschel Mayer Bauer, who took on the name Rothschild for Red Shield in German. According to Antelman, the Rothschilds were members of the Sabbatean sect known as the Frankists. Jacob Emden described a violent altercation that took place at his home with two defenders of the Frankists, one of them being Jacob Rothschild. Anyway, there's more. So the Judengasse of Frankfurt is an interesting sort of sub-discussion. And there's more, you know, there always is. Suffice it to say, there are a variety of intriguers vying for power and control. So back to William Lynn's piece. So Weil responded by using some of the money to set up a new think tank at Frankfurt University in Frankfurt, Germany. This is the Frankfurt School, number 5, use stealth. Originally, it was to be called the Institute for Marxism. The cultural Marxist realized they could be far more effective if they concealed their real nature and objectives. And when you run into these kinds of influence groups, isn't it just obvious to people, you know, if you start to investigate, I mean, guys, speaking of Malcolm X, I mean, you know, you're running with this crowd who says they believe this thing, only to, you know, realize, as Malcolm X did, that, again, you know, he's not walking his own talk. He's not practicing what he preaches, literally, in the case of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as Malcolm X discovered, and then he was like, what? What's going on here? So, that fascinates me. Doesn't that just cause you immediately, you know, you hear that record skip in your mind? Wait a minute. We can't go any further with this hypocrisy. We gotta address this. How do you get past that mentally? I digress. Cultural Marxists realized they could be far more effective if they concealed their real nature and objectives. They convinced Weil to give the new institute a neutral-sounding name, the Institute for Social Research, soon known simply as the Frankfurt School. The Institute for Social Research would become the place where political correctness, as we now know it, was developed. The basic answer to the question, who stole our culture, is the cultural Marxists of the Frankfurt School. The basic answer. And, you know, I think it would be interesting to start to really attack this at a street level, you know. Get this person, get that person, get the man, get whatever, you know. Who's oppressing you? Well, let's talk about that. You know, have you really? Yeah, I don't think so. And then, what has your family actually lost? You know, you can talk about something that happened whenever in history. We can all talk about stuff that happened whenever. And I would point to things that happened to people who were the actual indigenous people of this continent before I'd go reach to other continents. Because that's, I think, a much more recent an awful history, considering what we are supposed to believe in this society, or, you know, the basis of our, the founding constructs of our constitutional republic, so-called. Anyway, so the basic answer to the question, who stole our culture, is the cultural Marxists of the Frankfurt School. At first, the Institute worked mainly on conventional Marxist issues such as the labor movement, but in 1930, that changed dramatically. That year, the Institute was taken over by a new director, a brilliant young Marxist intellectual named Max Horkheimer. Horkheimer had been strongly influenced by Georg Lukács. He immediately set to work to turn the Frankfurt School into the place where Lukács' pioneering work on cultural Marxism could be developed further into a full-blown ideology. To that end, he brought some new members into the Frankfurt School. Perhaps the most important was Theodor Adorno, who would become Horkheimer's most creative collaborator. And, you know, that's the thing with these guys. They're usually not very creative. So when they find someone like an H.G. Wells, oh my goodness, they fawn. They're not creative. They are very blunted, I think, in their views. You know, we want to control people. I posted as the image of yesterday's broadcast, the featured image, an image, I think it's the first national conference on race betterment. And these, you know, this is what certain people think and how they act. I mean, you look at their faces, and of course we want to sterilize the rest of the nation. Why wouldn't we? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com. The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Back. We're going through William Lynn's Cultural Marxism, Who Stole Our Culture, as a primer on cultural Marxism, which is very important to understand. Once you see it clearly, then you can see it in everything. You see it in all pop culture, which, by the way, was a term, if not coined, definitely popularized by the Frankfurt School and Adorno himself. And there's, you know, a confluence of forces, again, being brought to bear. You know, you have the Frankfurt School, you have the, and the Institute for Social Research, you have the Tavistock Institute, the Fabian groups, and on and on. Really sort of colluding, conspiring for the destruction, advocating for the destruction of the common folk, so to speak. And specifically, you know, destroying the cultural moorings and things. And again, this gets back to a more esoteric, deeply esoteric agenda that you see, again, you see, you know, contemporary echoes and reverberations of that in things like what Jordy Rose has intimated. You stand next to this box, it's awesome. It's like, you know, it's like an altar to an alien god. Yeah. You got an alien in a refrigerator? Is that what you got? Anyway. But those aren't aliens, Jordy. Those are demons. So continuing from William Lynn's Cultural Marxism, Who Stole Our Culture? Theodore Adorno, who became Horkheimer's most creative collaborator. Other new members included two psychologists, Eric Fromm and Wilhelm Reich. who were noted promoters of feminism and matriarchy, and a young graduate student named Herbert Marcuse, or Herbert Marcuse, I think is how we would pronounce it in English. And speaking of the feminism and matriarchy, I've talked about that recently. It's interesting how this sort of politically correct rhetoric causes as much harm and conflict as anything. And it's obvious, you know, this message that, you know, to women, you know, you don't need a man. And there's truth in that. But if you're made to want one, then to clarify the question, as someone like Jordan Peterson would say, is, you know, to define terms, as I would say, and to get to specifics so we understand what we're talking about. And wanting and needing are two different things. So you may not need, but you may want. And so it creates this inner turmoil in a person that wouldn't otherwise be there. It wasn't there before. And then suddenly along come the cultural Marxist, nihilist, atheists, and, you know, people have this internal conflict, this turmoil that they, it seems like we'd all be better off if we go back to a more traditional view of things and we're more considerate, we're less dehumanizing toward one another, and loving, compassionate, gracious, merciful, those kinds of things. So, Herbert Marcuse, continuing, advances in cultural Marxism. With the help of this new blood, Horkheimer made three major advances in the development of cultural Marxism. Number 6, cultural revolution. First, he broke with Marx's view that culture was merely part of society's superstructure, quote-unquote, which was determined by economic factors. He said, Horkheimer, that on the contrary, culture was an independent and very important factor in shaping a society. And so you have whole schools of thought and academic pursuit and things, career fields that have grown out of this, like everything else. You know, Bernays' propaganda, now public relations is a field of study and a career field. You know, psychology, Freud hitting the shores in 1909 of New York saying, you know, they don't realize we're bringing them plague. Now that's a thing. Any, you know, speaking of Jordan Peterson, anyone with that sort of intellectual capacity, you would think, kind of go, I think it's all bunk. And then, you know, but some people would say, I mean, there are things that have been produced, particularly in recent years, you know, that I would say come from the same sort of cultural Marxist, nihilistic, atheistic influence. But some people might say, well, then what about the Bible? You know, why don't you? Well, I think it's interesting that there's always an attack on that. It's always indirect. It's always the, you know, again, speaking of stealth, it's always that method. Always indirect. Why? Why is that? And if it's not true, then why are there people that are writing, you know, what seems to fit an anti-biblical narrative that goes directly along with what you know, Fred in Iowa was talking about yesterday? Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat, very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great problem.
tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a
back.
I was special.
Yeah. I'm just goofing around, free associating in the break. And, you know, if you dig into the archives, there's some stuff that has been done on the network. Tom Lacovera in particular has posted quite a few things. That's the thing. See, it's, you know, stuff gets done and said, but it's the posting for posterity's sake. You know, again, cope, create once, post everywhere, or republish, syndicate. Including that entry, April 5th, 2018, hour one. April 5, 2018. Cultural Marxism, Communitarianism Explained. Jordan Peterson on cultural Marxism. That's an interesting discussion. Jordan Peterson, you know, again, one of those limited hangout things, kind of like the Boeing 737 conversation. What was the article that I saw on that today? You should not get far afield. Jalopnik article. What a limited hangout that is. Boeing called Indonesian pilots idiots for wanting more training on the 737 MAX prior to crash. Oh my goodness. That's horrible. You know, and they're, you know, it's a hardware failure. It's a software failure. No, it's a modified limited hangout. That's what it is. Because what you should be asking is why. I guess the first question would be, who's crashing planes using software? And the second question is, I guess the operative first question would be, why aren't more people concerned about who is and can crash planes with software? And this is a recurrent theme. You know, if your name is Bin Laden, you might want to travel by train or boat or something other than plane. Your plane might accidentally crash into power lines and be explode into flames, burned beyond recognition. Who's doing that? Who can do that and why? You know, I seem to recall some things in WikiLeaks, you know, the Vault series, Vault 7, Vault 8. It seems like there's some stuff in there somewhere about that. And, you know, automobiles too. Speaking of Michael Hastings and strange, erratic automobile behavior, unexplainable. Maybe he was smoking marijuana. There was that Vice piece that we played a while ago too, speaking of mainstream stuff, about, you know, how it's not just the CIA that can, and partners and friends that can remote control your vehicle. That's pretty easy to do if you have the wherewithal. Anyway, so Jordan Peterson, limited hangout, you know, cultural Marxism. You're much too smart for that. You know, the transcendence, self-transcendence, Maslow's hierarchy, and Jordan Peterson talking about how, you know, you can transcend the hierarchy at some point. You can, I mean, he sounds like a perfectibilist of old. He sounds like an Adam Weishaupt, Mayday 1776 kind of perfectibility of man kind of guy, and some of the things that he says. And, you know, there's some of the stuff that he says is redeeming, but that's how it works. That's why it works. Of course you would listen to that Pied Piper. These things are true. That's how it works. I'm not saying that everything that he says is irredeemable. I'm just saying that there's something to that. And getting back to my faith before we continue on, you know, people say, well, you start to learn certain things and then, well, doesn't that call into question the Bible? On the contrary, it solidifies my faith, because you see these attacks by intrigue and deception and these efforts to, you know, again, for those who are not aware, read Gary Kaa's Demonic Roots of Globalism, or really anything that someone like a Gary Kaa has written, and you start to see this grand conspiracy of esoteric, occult, and spiritual, of a patently spiritual nature start to unfold with very powerful and influential forces behind it. And so why and how can that persist generation after generation, decade after decade, century after century? How is that possible with more and more concerted fervor, like the momentum of a snowball rolling downhill? How else do you explain that? So I, you know, it deepens my faith. And again, you know, gets right back to the kind of stuff that Fred and I was talking about yesterday. You know, back and forth between Daniel, I would say chapters 2, 7, and 12 of Daniel and the book of Revelation. And it's just one revelation of Jesus Christ to John. Revelations, plural, is Albert Pike's book of a different nature. But back and forth between Daniel and Revelation. And again, you know, you would think, I mean, Marx, speaking of Marxism, Marx was the one who said, you know, the paraphrasing of his remarks was, religion is the opiate of the masses. So why not use Christianity as it has been used? Speaking of what Fred was saying about the papal system, why not? Why then seek to destroy this thing ultimately and finally? So, you know, again, it just deepens my faith. Not that it has anything to do with the conflict. It's just evidence of the reality and veracity of what the Holy Spirit reveals, I think. That's just my perspective. Anyway, that's an aside. Back to William Lens, Cultural Marxism, Who Stole Our Culture? So number six, cultural Marxism, or a cultural revolution, excuse me. First he broke with Marx's, Horkheimer broke with Marx's view that culture was merely part of society's superstructure, which was determined by economic factors. Horkheimer said that on the contrary, culture was an independent and very important factor in shaping a society. Seven, abandon the working class. Second, so these are the three things, three major advances in the development of cultural Marxism versus economic Marxism. So society is an important, culture and it is an independent and very important factor in shaping society. Culture is important. Second point, again, contrary to Marx, Horkheimer announced that in the future, the working class would not be the agent of revolution. Technocrats of the world unite. Anyway, he left open the question of who would play that role, a question Marcuse answered in the 1950s. Eight, use psychological conditioning. Third, Horkheimer and the other Frankfurt School members decided that the key to destroying Western culture was to cross Marx with Freud. Exactly. That's it right there in a nutshell. That's today's America. Cross of Marx and Freud. And again, you know, speaking of soundbites, the operative soundbite with Freud is that 1909 quote, you know, they don't realize we're bringing them the plague. So Horkheimer and the other Frankfurt School members decided that the key to destroying Western culture was to cross Marx with Freud. They argued that just as workers were oppressed under capitalism, so under Western culture, everyone lived in a constant state of psychological repression. Liberating everyone from that repression became one of the cultural Marxism's main goals. So-called liberation, but again, you have to really understand what they're advocating, what they're calling liberation, and then you look at it and say, what? That meme, you know, Chris Tucker, Rush Hour, you know, that thing. Anyway. Liberating everyone from that repression became one of cultural Marxism's main goals. Even more important, they realized that psychology offered them a far more powerful tool than philosophy for destroying Western culture, psychological conditioning. And again, there's much that has gone into this. Again, a confluence of forces, coalescing, you know, cybernetics, technocracy, the Bernaysian school of public relations, the depth approach and all of these kinds of things. Machiavellian intrigue and deception. So psychological conditioning and psychology and psychoanalysis is, you know, it becomes religious in nature, like everything else, worshiping the creature rather than the creator, Romans chapter 1. Number 9, normalize counterculture. Today, when Hollywood's cultural Marxists want to normalize something like homosexuality, thus liberating us from repression, these are all in quotes, they put on television show after television show where the only normal-seeming white male is a homosexual. That is how psychological conditioning works. It's like a meat tenderizer. You know, you keep getting hit over the head with it. That's what, remember what George Carlin said in that regard? It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in it. It's the same club they used to beat you over the head all day, telling you what to think, what to believe, that kind of stuff. That's how psychological conditioning works. People absorb the lessons of the cultural Marxists, want them to learn without even knowing they're being taught. And so again, you think about these people that don't have televisions and that just go walk. They take their family for a walk in the wilderness somewhere, and they all look happy and well-adjusted. You can see on the countenance of their faces, speaking of physiognomy and scrying, they aren't taking selfies. They look happy and well-adjusted. They're not absorbing this nihilistic, atheistic counterculture influence. And speaking of all of this stuff, you know, I don't forget, speaking of how Andrew Breitbart couched some of this, don't forget what he referred to as rape lit. And, you know, that sounds crude and crass, but turn on any episode of, you know, CSI or Law and Order SVU, or it's just episode after episode of that kind of stuff, which is awful, quite frankly. So don't watch it. I don't. Number 10, NYC and Columbia University. The Frankfurt School was well on the way to creating political correctness. Then suddenly fate intervened. In 1933, Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party came to power in Germany, where the Frankfurt School was located. Since the Frankfurt School was Marxist and the Nazis hated Marxism, so-called, and since almost all its members were Jewish, it decided to leave Germany. In 1934, the Frankfurt School, including its leading members from Germany, was reestablished in New York City with help from Columbia University. Yay, Columbia, where all good things come from. John Dewey, Zbigniew Brzezinski, technocracy, on and on. Soon, its focus shifted from destroying traditional Western culture in Germany to doing so in the United States. It would prove all too successful. New developments. Taking advantage of American hospitality, and again, that's a soundbite that can't be overemphasized. Taking advantage of American hospitality, the Frankfurt School soon resumed its intellectual work to create cultural Marxism. To its earlier achievements in Germany, it added these new developments. And I feel like we should wait as we're headed into a break. But, you know, taking advantage of American hospitality, and I would add perhaps naivete, because we've had the warnings, and I've talked about some of them, you know, warnings like, I don't know, Andrew Jackson's farewell address, George Washington's farewell address. You know, it's interesting. People argue, you know, these guys were part of the conspiracy. Well, that's fine, but what did they mean when they said these things then? Why did they say them? They were recorded for all history. If we well, you know, they aren't teaching cursive these days, so kids can't read that stuff anyway. I guess, you know, those things will vanish from the Oracle illusion in time, too. We'll be right back.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Final segment of the second hour, talking about the cultural Marxists. And by the way, the cultural Marxist influence and Who Stole Our Culture by William Lind. Now that we have assimilated cultural Marxism to a large degree, of course, we're getting all the rest of it. We're getting the full goose-stepping Marxist boot. And now it's transitioning more into an honest Marxist-Leninist version of, again, you know, Nietzsche-esque will to power kind of stuff. Nothing else matters. You can hear it in the rhetoric of guys like Donald Trump, I think. And, no. It's catching, and everyone's catching it. You know, you listen to the Democratic debates, catching there. You know, do you have the, you know, guys like, ironically, Mayor Pete? You can hear it in his rhetoric. Really, I mean, you can really hear it. Speaking of goose-stepping rhetoric. I mean, there's a lot of, he is a polished, silver-tongued Machiavellian intriguer. But, you know, as I've said, Obama ain't got nothing on this guy. The Weather Underground ain't got nothing on this guy. You know, his dad, a Gramsciite. Joseph Buttigieg, the Gramsci scholar. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that Mayor Pete is. Well, yeah, it does. I mean, if you look into his background, it does. Buttigieg, let's see. Is that still on his... Yeah, Buttigieg contrasted and co-edited the three-volume English edition of Antonio Gramsci's Prison Notebooks. That's Senior Joseph Buttigieg. He was a founding member and president of the International Gramsci Society. Speaking of cultural Marxists, and this is what Junior Mayor Pete is all about. You can hear it in his rhetoric. You know, Theodore Adorno for president, or Bear Marcuse, Max Horkheimer for president. That, to me, is the broader concern, you know, the ideological background underpinnings of someone like this. Buttigieg is a graduate of Harvard College and Oxford University, attending the latter on a Rhodes Scholarship, of course. I guess we're headed into a break. I'll be right back.
Want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.